What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 16. It's all fun and games until someone raises the dead. Alongside my co-host Dave, I'm Ryan.
I don't think I know that one.
Oh, you don't know it, but it's a movie that maybe last week you really want to see.
Oh, okay.
You're really high into it.
Yeah, I have a guess.
Yeah, in fairness, it is a brand new movie. It just came out last week. We'll probably talk about it here in just a couple of minutes. Actually, I guarantee we'll talk about it in a couple minutes because I'm looking at our outline. That was our tagline for the week. If you think you know what it is, or if you figure it out after we do our box office section, feel free to zip it off in an email to us at moviesonup@gmail.com. Or while you're at moviesonup.com, you can click on our Facebook page, Facebook link, go to our Facebook page, leave it to us there, or get at us at Twitter, on Twitter, at moviesonup.
Yep, or Gmail, moviesonup@gmail.com.
Did you say that? Okay. Yeah, that's always the first one because...
See, I write it last in the outline.
Oh, I never look at that. Oh. I do the Gmail, I do the website, I do Facebook and Twitter. So exactly
backwards. Oh, so you do it exactly
backwards
from how I write it.
Which isn't me trying to be a dick, it's just the way it worked out.
But anyways, this week we have another news-heavy week for Marvel, as well as news involving Tobey Maguire, Elle Fanning, Adam McKay, and more. Trailers featuring Expendables, Stallone, and Schwarzenegger, Dickens, Dogs, and Drama Nerds.
Dickens is not an expendable.
No, we're also going to talk about some female action stars and maybe put together our own female action star team. And we're going to take a look at the awesome career of Tony Scott.
I mean, Tony Scott, known for his action movies. He was a great action director. We had a... I'm not going to say it was a great action movie. I didn't see it. But it was number one in the box office this weekend, and that was The Expendables 2.
Expendables 2, number one. I was way off. I set the over-under at 40 because the first one brought in 38. Mm-hmm. Generally, movies like this, you expect to do more.
And you were saying Bourne was around
38. Bourne was about 35, yeah, so I thought this appeals to a wider audience than that. It only brought in 28.5, which is still okay. It's not great. It's about $10 million less than the previous one. Bourne tacked on another 17% or $17 million for second place. Worst second weekend for any of the Bourne movies. So its drop was sharper than normal for Bourne. The other wide release, one of the main ones, Paranorman. We put the over under what, 25?
Yeah.
I went under. You went over.
Yeah.
$14 million. Not great, but not terrible. The campaign holds strong at 4 with $13 million. Sparkle, one we didn't really know what to say, opened on about 1,000 fewer screens than all the other new releases, brought in 11.6.
I've read some positive things about it.
Yeah, so that was a $5,000 per screen average, where that's higher than the second, third, and fourth movies. So, The Odd Life of Timothy Green did $10 million over the weekend, $10.8 million over the weekend, but it also opened on Wednesday, so it's $15 million after the weekend. Interesting thing that 2016 Obama's America, it's an anti-Obama documentary. It expanded to 169 theaters this year, $1.2 million brought in, $7,000 per screen.
There's a lot of people that don't like Obama.
Yeah. But to see it at the movie theaters is weird.
And they're big fans of movies.
Yeah. The Awakening opened on 70 screens for $95,000. That's only a $1,370 per screen average. Cosmopolis wins the per screen average war. Three screens, $72,000, $24,000 per screen. That's the Cronenberg.
Edward packing them in.
Yeah, that's the Cronenberg Edward Cullen movie. Robot and Frank. Not far behind, only two screens at $35,000.
So it's Frank and Robot, Dave.
Frank and Robot. Robot and Frank. It's Robot and Frank.
No, it's not.
Whatever. It was $17,000. And then Beloved was on five screens at $27,000. Compliance, another one we've talked about. One screen, $16,000.
This is still a pretty good showing.
These are pretty good showings, yeah. Like we said last week, it was a good week for the limited release.
Exactly. I think there was
and
probably
they all
like
showed pretty well.
Three or four of them that, you know, if we had the opportunity, I probably would have seen any of these limited movies before, yeah, you know, The Expendables. And I'm a fan of The Expendables, and I will get to see that one of these days, hopefully, with Cosmopolis and Frank and Robot.
Looks... Like, I really want to see Compliance and Frank and Robot.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these days we'll get around to seeing them. Maybe one of these days we'll get around to seeing James Gunn direct Guardians of the Galaxy. Marvel is talking to Gunn. He helmed movies like Slither and Super to direct the outer space superhero movie. They're confident that he'll take it, but if he doesn't, they're going to shift their attention to Peyton List of Bring It On fame or Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden of Half Nelson and Kind of a Funny Story.
Yeah, the timing doesn't really work out with Fleck and Boden because they're working on something else.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, they just started. Peyton List is a weird choice, but Peyton List was originally supposed to do the Fox Fantastic Four before Tim Story ended up with a job. I love James Gunn.
Yeah.
I think this is awesome for him. He's, you know, he wrote Dawn of the Dead remake, which did well. He wrote the Scooby-Doo movies, did well. Slither and Super aren't really box office successes.
But I think they're both great.
They're both great.
Yeah.
And what Marvel's attracted to is his ability to mix
his humor,
action and humor, right, and a horror element, similar to what Joss Whedon can do.
Yeah, very much. Very much. I would say and it's weird, it's a harder, I think he's a harder edged Joss Whedon.
Yeah, no, he totally is. He's more of a risk-taking Joss Whedon.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see him try and tone it down a little bit. I can't imagine Marvel would let this movie come out with an R rating.
No.
It would be great to see an R-rated cut of it. However, who's going to get cut from Snow White? Maybe Snow White. Will the sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman have her in it at all? A bunch of conflicting reports this week on how the studio is going to react to the affair between Kristen Stewart and the director of the first film, Rupert Sanders. Early reports said Stewart was gone. The studio denied that. Other reports say that they're both gone. Still others say that the project is on hold as they decide what the hell to do, if it should be a sequel or a spinoff with just the Huntsman. Screenwriter David Koepp was bought out of his deal to write the sequel, which he was developing with Sanders.
This story's a wreck. The only constant, Hemsworth. Hemsworth is the Huntsman. He's going to be the Huntsman regardless. There's no word on Charlize Theron, if she's going to be the Evil Queen and whatever comes next. The reports that Kristen Stewart's fired, but Sanders is on, is kind of chauvinistic. Because how are you letting go one half of the party? Like, if you want to move on from it?
I think how you can do it is it's easier and a bit more acceptable to recast a director than to recast Snow White. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I'm talking if there was talks of getting rid of Stewart but keeping Sanders.
Oh, well, that would be rough. Not even from a chauvinistic thing. It would just be weird. I hate it when movies do that. You know, Batman did it.
But the weird thing is in April, remember when this movie came out, or I guess it was May, mm-hmm, when I called that I didn't have anything to back it up. I said, I think the sequel will be more of a Huntsman spinoff. I didn't predict that it would come this way.
Are you responsible for breaking up Edward Bella?
Yes.
You son of a bitch.
No, but I think a Huntsman one is the way to go, because I think Hemsworth is more bankable than Kristen Stewart.
Oh, definitely.
100%.
And I think we've seen the Snow White thing before. And, you know, if for no other reason than it was just kind of a vehicle to launch Hemsworth, yeah, then the hell with it. The movie made too much money to not have anything come out of it. So I think come hell or high water, we're going to see something. Just not sure what yet.
Yeah, and it was fast-tracked. Now they've pumped the brakes a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
And as they pumped the brakes after Bella was pumping the director. Adam McKay says The Boys is now in development at Paramount after Columbia passed on it. The movie, which McKay has wanted to do for a while, is based on the Garth Ennis comic about a group of superpowered CIA agents, tasked with handling any out-of-control superheroes.
I hope this movie happens. It'd be better as like a series, like an ongoing series, but it's an awesome one, and it's a passion project for McKay. He's wanted to do it forever, and there was no reports of Paramount picking it up. It's all broke on Twitter when somebody randomly tweeted at him and said, hey man, I'm sorry, I really wish I could see the Boys, but I hear it's not in development. And then he tweeted back and said, oh, actually Paramount picked it up, we're still developing. Still doesn't mean it's gonna happen, but it means it's not
dead
in the water
yet. also not dead, Mark Webb, looking to find the only living boy in New York. He will direct this twisted coming-of-age tale about a recent college grad who falls for his father's mistress. Logan Lerman was once attached to star, but maybe not. We'll have to see. Webb's status for the Amazing Spider-Man sequel now up in the air.
Well, still up in the air. Like, I don't think we had...
I don't think he was officially brought back.
I don't think we addressed this because it's kind of complicated. They want him back for Spider-Man 2, but he owes another studio a movie, and they want Spider-Man to be next.
Right.
So if he has to make this movie for the other studio, they're going to move on without him with Spider-Man. But the other studio was like, okay, you can make Spider-Man first, but now you owe us two movies. And it was basically on Webb, like, what's he want to do? Does he want to do Spider-Man and then be tied down to two movies next? So this is one project. Whether it comes before Spider-Man and Spider-Man doesn't happen for him, or if it comes after, there's no telling. And I think that's why Logan Lerman's not 100% attached still.
But this, to be clear, this wasn't necessarily the project that was owed the other studio, right?
This is a completely new one. Yeah.
That is complicating the whole thing.
Yeah, he's in demand now, so he wants to rack stuff up. But
yeah, strike while the iron is hot.
But this is the kind of thing he can do. This is a 500 Days of Summer type thing, because the whole thing with Spider-Man was in the amount of time it takes to make Spider-Man.
He could have made
two 500 yeah. Days of Summer. So this is kind of the stuff he likes to do, but yet he got his feet wet with Spider-Man, so it'll develop.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure we'll have more on that situation as news becomes available. Disney stops the motion on Henry Selick's latest stop-motion film that was due for an October 4th, 2013 release. The as-yet-untitled project began filming last summer, but the studio kind of thought it sucked. Selick has permission to shop the project to other studios, and it could put a little damper on his future plans to direct Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard Book for Disney.
Yeah, I love Henry Selick. Like, his movies are awesome. Coraline, Nightmare Before Christmas. Disney just decided to put 150 animators out of work by doing this. I guess it's okay. They're at least letting them shop it.
Yeah.
But Disney owns the rights to Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard Book. Henry Selick is the perfect person to do this. And him and Gaiman have a good relationship already. I hope it doesn't turn things south with Disney and he's actually willing to do it still.
Do you think that maybe they're just looking for an excuse to give that to Tim Burton? You think they'd bring him on to do that?
I don't know that Burton would do that to Selick.
I mean, I hope not. I
don't think Burton's a good fit.
He may not be, but I guess when
he has a name.
He has a name,
that.
And when you think of like who's doing stop motion now, you know, maybe somebody
who's doing it. Tim Burton. Who's doing it the best? Henry Selick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you can't have A,
but one's a household name, the other one's not.
Well, not yet.
The other name gets credit for the other one's biggest hit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people, when you think of Nightmare Before Elm Street, everyone, yeah, Jesus Christ. Nightmare Before Christmas.
I would see that.
Yeah, that's a hell of a mashup. I'm sure that's out there on YouTube, but Jon Favreau holding open casting calls on the East Coast to find his leads for Jersey Boys. He's looking to cast complete unknowns in the role of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
I think it's a ballsy choice. I think it's the right one, though.
Absolutely.
Because the Jersey Boys is such a big play that it's the material that's going to make the movie a hit, not the cast.
Right.
Plus, you look at the story of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, they were all completely unknowns. Mm-hmm. So if you put a star and you put a recognizable face in the
role,
it's going
to be distracting.
It distracts you from the story of them rising up. So I think it's a ballsy choice by Favreau, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Craig Zobel, the screenwriter for Compliance, to team with Tobey Maguire on Z for Zachariah, a post-apocalyptic tale of a young girl maintaining a farm in the only area with breathable air after a nuclear war. Toby will play the scientist that the young girl nurses back to health, based on the 1974 novel by Robert C. O'Brien, which I've actually read.
It sounds awesome. Is it awesome?
It's okay.
I mean, Craig Zobel, he's coming off Compliance, which is getting rave reviews. Like, it just opened limited. We just talked about mm-hmm. it. But so this is kind of what he's doing next. It sounds cool.
Yeah, this is... I mean, if I've read the book, then it's probably one of those like young readers that you kind of... I was mandated to read the damn thing. I didn't pick it up by myself.
It sounds cool.
It's good. I like Tobey Maguire. It'd be interesting to see who they cast for the girl, but...
We'll see. How young? Is it like 13-ish, 14-ish?
I want to say it was like early teens.
So Chloe Moretz?
Yeah, I'm sure it could be. Dakota
or
Fanning.
Elle Fanning.
Oh, yeah. Give me some Elle Fanning. McGuire is also making moves with Ed Zwick, teaming up with the Love and Other Drugs director to play chess legend Bobby Fischer in Pawn Sacrifice.
Tobey Maguire, he seemed to disappear for a little bit, but...
Much like Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, but I think he's coming back. He's got Gatsby. He's got some stuff coming up.
Tom Hardy and Michael Shannon set to travel the long road together, based on the Brett C. Leonard play in which Hardy recently appeared. The story stars Hardy as a man on the run from his past while drinking himself to death. Michael Shannon will play his brother, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who adapted the version of the play that Hardy starred in, may direct this one.
Hardy and Shannon are probably, I know you know how I feel about them. They're probably two of the best working actors right now.
Both very good. And I think you throw Philip Seymour Hoffman into that equation. I mean,
Hardy starred in. Hardy's already done the role. He's just going to put it on the screen. It's called Long Red Road. I think it's going to be awesome. You put Hardy and Shannon, who both have this magic to make everybody around them better. You get them feeding off each other. Fuck. I'm erect.
Fuck indeed. Aaron Paul will be going the long way down after Breaking Bad. He joins Pierce Brosnan, Toni Collette, and Imogen Poots in the adaptation of Nick Hornby's book about a suicidal quartet that meet on top of a building.
It's a cool book by Nick Hornby. It's after all of his good ones, but there's still a cool story. Just these people that go up to a rooftop that all want to kill themselves and then end up bonding. It'll be cool, I think.
I think it's an interesting, interesting concept. I like all of the actors. I mean, say what you want about Pierce Brosnan. I think he can be really good.
He's playing like a pompous talk show host in this.
That works.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Toni Collette's like a troubled single mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Imogen Poots is an angered teen.
I was just going to say, like, are you going to run them all down? Aaron Paul's a meth dealer?
I think he's just an alcoholic. I forget his whole thing, but
I'm glad to see him in movies though. Like,
no, it's cool. Like, cause
he's fucking awesome. He doesn't get the credit he deserves on that show because he's with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
He just wins awards all the
everything
time.
Everything I've seen about him in movie news is him getting passed over for stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is the start of something cool.
I hope so. Fran Kranz to murder a cat. Cabin in the Woods star takes the lead in the darkly comic noir about a man solving the murder of his cat, based off a 2010 Blacklist script, will mark the directorial debut of Sam Raimi's wife, Gillian Green Raimi.
Yeah, he replaces Jay Baruchel, who was in the lead, which that makes sense if you're familiar with Fran Kranz and you're familiar with Jay Baruchel. I like when people like Fran Kranz become a leading man. Same as like when Jay Baruchel becomes a leading man, because they're not your traditional...
Didn't look like...
Yeah, and Fran Kranz is awesome. He was great on Dollhouse. He was awesome in Cabin in the Woods. Yes, keep giving him work.
Terry Crews got some more work. He will join the cast of Scary Movie 5.
Another guy. Keep giving him work. He needs to be in better stuff, though. This dude is awesome.
He does need to be everywhere.
He's amazing in everything. He was awesome on Everybody Loves Chris. He was Cheeseburger Eddie in the Longest Yard remake, which was brilliant.
He's one of those guys that does the same thing every time,
but
his same thing is so awesome. Like, yes, please.
Yeah, he needs to be in better stuff and more stuff.
Joy Bryant wins the Demi Moore role in the About Last Night remake.
We just talked about it last week.
Can we put Terry Crews in this too?
I wish.
That'd be awesome. Zoe Saldana to star as Nina Simone in Nina, written and directed by Cynthia Mort. David Oyelowo will co-star as her manager, Clifton Henderson.
I like Zoe Saldana a lot. It's cool to see her do something like this, because I thought she was going to get pigeonholed into, like, action star.
Into being Aliens?
Aliens.
Yeah. She was in Avatar. She was an alien.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I was thinking Columbiana.
Yeah, did you see that?
Columbiana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. I was just curious. Winona Ryder to join Jason Statham and James Franco in the Sylvester Stallone written Homefront.
I like Winona Ryder. Another one. Please come back. She's shown up in like little stuff here and there. I think she's Statham's wife in this.
Was this the one we were talking about last week that had
where it's like Franco Albino or something?
Yeah, the terrible name.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just being hypercritical here, but I mean, if Franco signed on, I like Statham. So,
I do too. I do too a lot. He makes some terrible choices, but I like him.
I don't know
he's a movie star.
He makes terrible choices.
Even in his terrible choices, he's awesome to watch. Yeah, he's got this electricity about him.
So we might be kind of turning on this movie just with this.
Winona Ryder, Statham, and Franco as your main three. I'll see it.
Yeah, no, I definitely will too.
And I mean, it's funny to say like Sylvester Stallone wrote it. He's an accomplished writer. He stole the story
for Rocky that went over pretty well.
Yeah.
But.
So I mean, he's written. It's not like he hasn't written screenplays before.
Yeah, so we'll have to see on that one. John Goodman to appear in Hangover 3, possibly as a villain.
Yeah, but right apparently there. It's only the same size role Paul Giamatti had in the second one, which wasn't big, but I love the goods.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. More John Goodman is good, but in the Hangover, it's pissing in the wind for me on that one. Elle Fanning to swim in Olive's Ocean, where she'll play a teen who has to find herself after learning that a recently deceased classmate hoped to be her friend. Donald Rosenfeld is producing, who optioned their rights to the young adult novel after Fanning mentioned it was her favorite book when they met on the set of the movie that he was producing, she was starring in.
No, Dakota Fanning was... This story's creepy. He was directing... Oh, yes. He was producing a Dakota Fanning movie. Elle Fanning was on set... So he asked Elle Fanning, what's your favorite book? She says Olive's Ocean. He buys the rights and then puts her in it.
Meanwhile, Dakota Fanning is going, I like books too.
Yeah, but I think she's doing fine. Okay for herself. Yeah, exactly. But it just came off as creepy to me. Like, hey, little girl, what's your favorite book? You want to star in a movie about it?
I'm trying to think like what would have been a really odd book that she could have picked.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's probably the correct answer. I was thinking like Harold and the Purple Crayon. If anybody asks you what's your favorite book, like a creepy movie producer asks you that question, what are you going to say?
Watchmen. That's my favorite book.
Oh, okay.
I would maybe, if it's in the hopes of that I could maybe star in it, Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Okay. I'm still going Harold and the Purple Crayon, but only if it's like Robert Zemeckis style CGI. That'd be great. Carey Mulligan to star in Nancy and Danny, directed by Man on a Wire director James Marsh. Mulligan will play a small-town woman who's trying to get with an old high school crush by pulling off a get-rich-quick scam.
I like Mulligan.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a bummer. Like, you know, she obviously was in Gatsby, which got pushed back, so we're not going to see too much of her for the rest of the year, but she does have quite a few projects in development for 2013.
She's good in everything. Absolutely. Man on Wire, I'm always interested when somebody's biggest movie's a documentary and when they make that transition to narrative, because it's always, they bring a different viewpoint, a different, like, vision. So I'm interested to see that.
Sure. Jake Gyllenhaal and Mississippi Grinding with Half Nelson directors Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden. The actor is in talks to play a degenerate gambler who teams up with an older, more degenerated and yet uncast gambler to win back all they've lost on a gambling bender throughout the South.
That sounds awesome. I like Gyllenhaal. I Source Code turned me on Gyllenhaal. I loved Half Nelson. I loved It's Kind of a Funny Story. They know how to work actors.
Yeah.
So the other role is going to be like coveted, so I'm sure whoever, it just sounds like an Oscar-type movie for either one of them.
Yeah, to me, that's really where it hinges. If they get that older role cast correctly, I think this could be a really, really good movie. But I couldn't even think, you know, the top person that I would be looking for right now.
Eastwood.
He's coming back to acting. But
Or Paul Newman. Is he still alive?
No.
Then don't cast him.
Randy Newman. He's still alive.
Yeah, Randy Newman.
Samuel L. Jackson has Jungle Fever. He will reteam with Spike Lee on the Spike Lee rejoint of the Park Chan-wook joint, Old Boy. It will mark the first time those folks have gotten back together since Jungle Fever. That's why I said that he has Jungle Fever.
I got it.
I just wanted to be completely
clear.
I'm
not 100% sold on an Old Boy remake.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, I know it's happening, but and I know I'll see it. Like, I'd rather Spike Lee make it than... Who was talking about Spielberg was going to make it with Will Smith? I'll take this.
Isn't it Josh Brolin?
Yeah. And Charlton Copley, isn't he the bad guy?
I didn't read who the bad guy was. I think it's
Charlton Copley from
District
9.
You don't like
9.
Him, though, do you?
I love him. He starred in Best Picture nominee District 9.
Did that get nominated for Best Picture?
It did.
And one movie that just missed out, Best Picture nomination was The A-Team. Hell yeah.
He was actually really good in that, though.
I know. That was actually not a bad movie. I kind of
For what it,
it
was, it yeah. was fun.
David Cronenberg says Eastern Promises 2 no longer a go after all the funding was pulled by Focus Features.
And he doesn't sound happy about it.
No, I'm sure.
He named a name. He named the executive that pulled the funding. And he's like, oh, I wanted to see Eastern Promises 2. You want to? Find so-and-so.
Write a letter to this guy. Pierre Morel, taken off Bastille Day to direct Hitman's Bodyguard, essentially exactly what it sounds like. It's about a bodyguard that is trying to protect a hitman who's going to The Hague to stand trial for assassinating and blah, 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 blah.
I hope Whitney
blah,
Houston
blah.
Does the soundtrack.
I guess she'd probably already have to have that in the can because I heard she's no longer with us. Iron Man 3 halts production temporarily after Robert Downey Jr. injures his ankle on set.
Not so iron anymore, are ya?
I guess.
Apparently minor. Like, I don't think it's gonna... it just sucks when stuff like that happens because that's people's jobs at stake.
Yeah.
But
you gotta think that maybe there was something else they could have been filming. That,
yeah,
you know,
but...
Yeah, whatever.
He is kind of the star.
Is he playing the Iron Man?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Anna Kendrick... Imogen Poots, or Felicity Jones, on the short list for playing Captain America 2. Is she going to be Captain America?
I ran out of room to write it because that was handwritten in.
No, I know.
Those
I was
three
just
are the,
being an
the
a-hole.
Final, the short list to play the female lead in Captain America Winter Soldier, which will be apparently, allegedly, Sharon Carter, the niece of Hayley Atwell's character in the first one, which Hayley Atwell in the first one was one of my favorite like female co-leads of a superhero movie. I thought she was awesome. And of course it's the one where she can't come back for the sequel.
Yeah, but I
but
don't
Anna
think you're
Kendrick
gonna complain too
Poots.
Much. Yeah, okay. And in fairness to Felicity Jones, I'm sure she's a wonderful young
she
actress.
She was lovely and like crazy.
I just had no idea who she was. Avengers 2 officially assembling May 1st, 2015. Could we see Vin Diesel or Clark Gregg as the Vision?
I doubt it.
I don't think we'd see Vin Diesel. The Clark Gregg thing has been kind of floating about for, I don't know, it's probably since May.
I don't think Whedon would do it.
Well, I don't know. I would be a little bit surprised. I mean, do you think Vision's going to be in it? Like,
no, but I don't know yet. I doubt it.
Of all the characters, you could probably leave that one off and I'd be totally okay with it. Jurassic Park 3D moved from July to April, where... What the fuck is this?
R.I.P.D. That's actually the name of the movie.
Okay, I have no idea what that is. Apparently, it's a Ryan Reynolds supernatural cop movie. We'll move back a couple weeks into the vacated spot.
It's R.I.P.D. Rest in Peace Department, which is like like when you die, they become cops. Ryan Reynolds has to solve his own murder or something like that. It's based on a comic, on a graphic novel. Zach Galifianakis was... attached, but then he backed out, so now
it's probably a good
Jeff Bridges
by him. Oh no,
Jeff Daniels, one of those. It's a Jeff
Foxworthy,
maybe.
Warner Brothers shuts down Warner Premiere, the direct to video label responsible for direct to DVD prequels, sequels to such movies as The Dukes of Hazzard, The House on Haunted Hill, Ace Ventura, Cinderella Story, and other fine films.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, really, there's some people that are out of work.
That's... Yeah, that is the way to bring it down. But yeah, these I would rather the money made to make these movies go into making not shit.
I second that emotion. Paramount looking to open up Paramount Animation. After winning the Oscar for Rango last year, the studio looking to ramp up production of animation projects as well as keep on keeping on distributing DreamWorks animation projects. What projects, you might ask, do they have? SpongeBob 2 and the adaptation of Penny Arcade comic New Kid, also in talks for a J.J. Abrams project.
There's a lot of stuff going on with DreamWorks because we talked... maybe a month ago about them buying the rights to all these classic characters.
Yeah, Berenstain,
they've
Bears,
also,
Casper.
There's been kicked around. DreamWorks wants a network. DreamWorks wants a TV channel.
And I think that getting in bed with Nickelodeon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you might, Paramount, Nickelodeon, their cahoots, DreamWorks, you could see, you know, Nickelodeon Animation brought to you by DreamWorks. Like, I think this is all part of a bigger piece.
No, I'm sure it is. I'm interested to see what the J.J. Abrams project would be, could be, but no word on that right now. Roadside Attraction's name is anything but Mud. Along with Lionsgate, they've picked up the Cannes fave. Mud, directed by Take Shelter's Jeff Nichols, for release in 2013.
Take Shelter, heavy episode this week.
I think so.
I liked it a lot. I really did. So I'll see it. I want to see what Jeff Nichols does next.
From what I had read online, someone described it as Stand By the Southern Beast of the Wild. It's a bit like Stand By Me in that the two main characters are Utes. And then they get taken under a wing by a crazy old dude played by Matt McConaughey. So
he's on a tear.
I know he is. That's why I think it's
worth
mentioning.
This is the year of McConaughey. It truly is. Like, he's all over the place, and he's giving, like, really
good performances.
Yeah.
So, God bless him. I mean, there was a couple years ago when he was in, like, every shit surfer movie ever.
Yeah.
And I think he's just paying us back for that. So, good for him. The Estrogen Expendables is in the works to be penned by Killing 'Em Softly scribe Dutch Southern. We kind of gave it a little bit of thought, maybe one of us more than the other. Dave thought about it more than I did.
Even though it was your idea.
Yeah, that's true. But that's only fair that I shouldn't have to think about it as much. Dave, who do you think should be cast in an all-females Expendables?
Well, here's the thing. I have it all played out. The older people that have to put the team together... So they're kind of cameos, but they play a role.
They're
in
like the Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis type,
yeah,
deal? Okay.
Sigourney Weaver.
All right.
Linda Hamilton. Those are the two obvious ones.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster.
Oh.
She's kicked some ass in her day.
She's kicked an ass or two, yeah.
Because they have to take on the villains.
Well.
Played by Lucy Lawless, Cynthia Rothrock.
Who the fuck is Cynthia Rothrock?
From the 80s.
From the 80s. Okay.
She starred in like all these...
Her of the 80s fame.
Just a million like female-led action movies that pretty much went straight to video. She's a former like boxing champ, kickboxing champ, weapons expert. Just all these movies from the 80s that went straight to video that... pretty much that. They were just typical 80s or typical action movies that just went there. I don't think you can have a female action movie that's like The Expendables without involving her. And then the team, led by Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, she kind of has to be in there.
Zoe Saldana.
Okay.
Thandi Newton. Those are the main three.
All
yes,
right.
Yes, hear me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
A team made up of Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Rona Mitra. They play sisters. Keira Knightley. Sarah Michelle Gellar in a smaller role, Lucy Liu, and my favorite, Summer Glau.
Yeah, I had a feeling that she was going to make it in there for her work on Terminator.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a cameo in like a kind of a Bruce Willis type cameo in G.I. Joe 2, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I could see that. There are a couple names that I think that definitely could probably should be put in there. One, I think, for a villain, Grace Jones. She of Bond Girl fame played Mayday in the along with Christopher Walken as Max Zorn. Yeah, this is me liking Bond a lot.
See, I almost
That was A View to a Kill, I think, which may have been the one that was the theme song's done by Duran Duran.
I almost went with Pam Grier. In a cameo.
Yeah, Pam Grier was on there for me too. Another one that has kicked a lot of asses and kicked quite a few asses in a Tarantino movie. Also kicking quite a few asses in a Tarantino movie.
I avoided her like the plague.
Yeah, well, I think Uma Thurman does warrant a mention, as well as Zoe Bell, who did
Zoe needs to be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to be in there somewhere.
So I think we just kind of
regurgitated. That was an oversight on my...
Well, that's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, but
and maybe if I could, and I know she's a goddamn mess right now, but there was a time when I was probably 9.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No. Although that wouldn't be a bad choice either. But I was deeply, deeply in love with Brigitte Nielsen. And she is kind of, I mean, you know, she was dating Dolph Lundgren. So I think of her as the female equivalent to Dolph Lundgren. And
if she can get her
shit together, like I would like to see her in that. She was awesome in Red Sonja. Rocky IV, she didn't really kick too many asses, but she looked like she could have. Yeah.
Yeah, but another movie she starred in, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes.
Keira Knightley, another movie she starred in, Domino. Both movies directed by Tony Scott. So, I'm sure you've heard, but Tony Scott, film director, jumped off a bridge this weekend after being diagnosed with incurable brain cancer. Left notes to his loved ones and jumped. I think Tony Scott is one of those where I don't think you're going to have a lot of people say, like, oh, Tony Scott was my favorite director.
But maybe not.
But those same people will look at Tony Scott's filmography and think,
I love that movie.
Holy shit.
I love that movie.
I the way I put it on Twitter today was, he has an amazing, holy shit, I forgot he directed that too, career.
Yeah.
Because you go through his filmography, it's amazing. Like, obviously his big...
What would you say, like, what is the first movie that comes to mind when you think of Tony Scott?
For me, it's True Romance.
Okay.
But... Everywhere's calling him Top Gun director.
Yeah, that to me that's what it is. It is Top Gun's the first one that comes to mind, but I think that's what makes, you know, someone that has a successful career is when Dave and I can both sit here, two completely different movies come to mind as, oh yeah, that's Tony Scott's, you know, best one. But I think, like, you know, if we talk to somebody else, you know, Man on Fire would be very high.
I did
for
my
someone.
Top five.
Okay.
I have True Romance number one. Last Boy Scout, number two. Man on Fire, number three. Enemy of the State, number four. Which, this movie was ahead of its time. Like, this was ahead of the everybody's watching paranoia.
Yeah, the Big Brother thing.
Like, he was a few years ahead of the game. And Beverly Hills Cop 2. And then The Fan,
I was just
Revenge,
gonna say, like,
and Top Gun. I still love those.
Yeah.
Like, those were hard to leave off. The Fan, I think it's just because I'm such a big Barry Bonds fan, which is why I love that movie, because Wesley Snipes is basically just Barry Bonds, but it was awesome. And then even his maybe considered misses, like Deja Vu wasn't his biggest hit. That's an ambitious movie. Like, he tried something different.
Yeah.
And then Domino.
I kind of like Domino.
I liked it for what it was. Yeah. I thought it could have been better because the story was already awesome. Like, the story of Domino was great. He turned it more into an action movie than it needed to be. It was still good. So, I mean, even his, like, misses were good.
And even recently, like, Unstoppable, a movie about a runaway train, which I could give a shit less. But that actually turned out to be a pretty decent movie. And taking a Pelham 1-2-3, like...
But this is... If you go back, Top Gun was his first, like,
his
big
first,
one. Well, he did The Hunger in 83.
Yeah.
But, like, his first big break was Top Gun 86. Beverly Hills Cop 2, 87. Revenge, 1990. Kevin Costner at his finest. Days of Thunder, huge hit, 1990. Last Boy Scout, 91. True Romance, 93. That's all in a row.
Crimson Tide, 95.
The Fan, Enemy of the State. That's all in a row. That's a 9-movie span over 12 years that were just good movies.
Exactly.
They're not all winning Oscars. They're not great, but they're...
They didn't have to be.
They're
they were entertaining
TV,
movies.
Are you going to sit and watch any one of those?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Spy Game, Man on Fire, Domino, Deja Vu, and then the two Denzel Train movies. Like, he had an amazing career. And he's one of those, I say it all the time about people, that I don't think people... appreciate it until it's too late.
Yeah.
Because all those movies I named were Hollywood movies. They were all big studio movies, but they had his own spin on them. He's one of the only ones that was making, I mean, Tarantino does it too, but where you're making mainstream movies, but you're taking chances. You're making safe movies in an unsafe way. Like, look at Deja Vu and Man on Fire, the filters he used. Like, they have a different look. Domino is a completely different movie than your typical action movie. I mean, he had a vision. Yeah, he's a mainstream director that's making, you know, big studio movies, but he still had a vision, which you don't get a lot. Like, a lot of these big studio directors are just making the movies and then moving on to the next one. He was saying something. Like, he wanted it to be seen a certain way.
And so, nobody's, to this day, nobody's filmed a volleyball scene better than Tony Scott. Shades, jeans, Iceman.
I mean, it sucks. It sucks, but I wanted to just talk about how great his career was and not focus so much on how much it sucks.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, but I mean, you know, watch a Tony Scott movie. You know, pick one out that you haven't
seen.
Any
of them. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we just named 15 that are worth
the ones
watch.
That are misses really aren't. By his standards, maybe you're missing.
I wouldn't
say
on any of his movies, I wouldn't say, oh, it's not worth a watch.
Exactly.
Don't even bother watching it.
I think
it.
We've seen most of them, and they're all worth a watch. That you'll get enjoyment out of all of them. Trailer came out for a movie this week that absolutely, I think you'll get some enjoyment out of. I know we both did. We've talked about it a couple times, and that is Seven Psychopaths.
My most anticipated of the year. Finally got a trailer.
It's quickly becoming one of my more anticipated
looks
ones.
Amazing. It looks very Martin McDonough. It looks very Sam Rockwell, very Colin Farrell, very Christopher Walken, Woody Harrelson. There's so many good things about this movie in this 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, and it kind of builds them as, you know, a bit of an ensemble cast, which I love. I love those kind of caper movies that are an ensemble and everybody kind of plays their part. What, they all kind of work in and out with each
Rouge
other.
That was really Colin
Two
Farrell's
guys.
Movie.
Well,
but yeah. Then Brendan Gleeson shined, Dinklage shined, Ralph Fiennes was amazing. So I mean, he knows how to get he knows how to write characters that put his actors in the best possible spot. And he just did it with more characters this time.
Yeah, so definitely take a look at that trailer. I think it gives you a real good flavor of what the movie's going to be about. Another ensemble cast is 10 Years. Essentially, American Reunion without trying so hard?
Yeah, it's just an ensemble. C. Tate's, Justin Long, Rosario Dawson.
And
there's a lot of people. Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people going to their 10-year high school reunion.
All of those people I could see being about the same age, except for the dude from Office Space.
The Ron hell? Livingston?
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, because
bullshit.
My 10-year was just a couple years ago, and Ron Livingston was starring in Office Space as I graduated high school. So yeah, he's a little old on the old front. But,
I would say. The thing I liked most about that trailer is like at the very end when they showed the Polaroids of everyone in high school and what they look like. Check out the very last scene, almost the very last frame almost, is the C. Tate's Polaroid. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I probably won't see it, or I'll see it at some point, but it is what it is.
I wouldn't say the expectations are great for that movie, but as I segue into Great Expectations, got a trailer for that. Ralph Fiennes looks like he did in Wrath of the Titans, except an old version of Hades.
Yeah, and Helena Bonham Carter looks Helena Bonham Carter.
Exactly.
It's Mike Newell, who did Harry Potter and Goblet of Fire, adapting Great Expectations. Whatever. I like the story. I might see this. I really liked the Ethan Hawke one in, like, what was that, 98? It wasn't a good adaptation of the book, but it was a good movie. So, I think this will be interesting. Newell's interesting enough visually, and the story's good enough story-wise that I'll see it at some point.
It was 1998 for the Ethan Hawke Gwyneth Paltrow one. Because now I have internet and I can check that kind of shit while you're talking. Check out the Red Band trailer for End of Watch. Maybe pump the brakes if you don't like the F word. Because boy, does it get thrown around.
I think this movie's going to be brutal.
Yeah. I think it'll look like a video game.
I think it'll be awesome. I'm excited for it. Gyllenhaal kicking some ass.
Michael Pena.
Anna Kendrick being Anna Kendrick. Like, I think this movie's going to be fantastic.
She doesn't really feature too much in the in this Red Band trailer I saw. She's in the first one.
I don't think she's in the movie all that much.
No, she's is it Gyllenhaal's wife?
I think so.
She plays?
Yeah. But I think it's going to be good though.
I want it to be good.
I think that's what
the first trailer I saw, I was like, "Oh, this could be neat." This one didn't do too much for
me.
Yeah,
I think it's more of me. I want this to be good cuz I do like Gyllenhaal and
it's like an episode of Cops on steroids.
Yes.
And Coke.
It's got like a Harsh Times vibe.
Yeah.
Wasn't Michael Pena the co-star in that too? Christian Bale?
I'd say what? Why don't you look at that while I talk a little bit about the next trailer, and that is another Red Band, The Man with the Iron Fist. That's the RZA making his directorial debut. The script co-written by Eli Roth, presented by Quentin Tarantino, and you can kind of see fingerprints of all of those guys on here. And this trailer absolutely earned the red band. There's lots of heads blowing up. I think they do a little bit better job in this one, kind of breaking down all the characters. You get to see a little bit more of Russell Crowe's character. We get to see a little more of David Batista's character. And I wish this movie was in 3D, because that eyeball getting punched out of the dude's head would be awesome, flying right at your face.
It's Freddy Rodriguez in Harsh Times.
Yeah, okay. I could see where you'd make that mistake, you racist. Anything you'd like to add about... would you like to...
I want to see it.
I was going to say, would you like to misidentify one of the Asian actresses in that?
No, no. I think it looks good.
UFC? They've got a UFC guy and a former WWF guy.
I like RZA.
Yeah, I like RZA. This movie looks awesome. The next movie, I was all prepared to give a try. I was really going to try and like it. That's The Last Stand, which is the next stand by former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. The movie doesn't look that good, but it, just from what I've seen of Johnny Knoxville in the trailer, he's going to fucking destroy this movie.
Johnny Knoxville made me not want to watch the trailer.
And I don't mind Johnny Knoxville.
I don't hate him like I used to, but he just looks like he's trying way too... And yes, we're criticizing somebody's acting in a trailer for an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
But watch the trailer and see if you don't do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't... no interest in this movie. It's Arnold's like first...
like standalone...
Since the governor, yeah.
I almost... Oh, God, I'm glad I didn't say what I was going to say, because I just would have been so goddamn cliche. Anyway, moving right along, Stage Fright, which is kind of a found footage, I Know What You Did Last Summer during our production of Our Town.
God, this looks terrible.
Yes, it does.
And it's not even that I hate found footage, it's just I hate terrible movies.
But you do.
This looks terrible. It's about a high school kid that dies during a production where he's supposed to be hung, and he actually gets hung.
He plays the executioner, and somehow he gets hung, which doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but I don't know.
These kids break into the school, these other drama nerds, and they like try to summon them, and they're filming it. It looks terrible.
It looks really bad, but I would say watch the trailer to see the first set of news anchors that come on.
Oh my God.
Because they look absolutely ridiculous. Like
every news anchor in this looks ridiculous. The first minute of the trailer is just fake news.
Yeah.
It's the worst fake news you've ever seen in the world.
For like the original news anchors. As soon as they're done, stop watching the trailer, because that's the best part of it. And by
terrible.
Best, I mean the worst.
Oh, that's the worst looking fake news ever.
I do have to compliment you in the way you put these trailers on here. You didn't put all the heavy ones together. This one, kind of heavy. Keep the lights on. About a couple gay gentlemen. One of them, at least, is supposed to be closeted, but at least in the trailer, I can't...
And then the other one has a girlfriend?
Well, I think that's the one I was thinking of, but I'm not sure. Either way, they both, at least in the trailer, don't seem to be very convincing as not being gay. But
it's pretty hot and heavy. This trailer has a lot of man on man going on.
There's a lot of that, but it just seems like one of those movies that, you know, the one guy gets real addicted into drugs, and there's sort of an intervention. It just seems like one of those so heavy dramas. It's gonna make you feel like so
bad. And it
bad.
Feels like a story that you've seen a million times, just with a gay
Maybe,
couple.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I generally don't like stories like that. So I mean, it looks like it's acted well, like the trailer. You see better acting in just the 3-minute trailer than you do in a lot of movies nowadays, but I think I'll skip this one. It looks so... I don't get into
these. It looks depressing.
Yeah.
I don't want to... I have such a problem trying to sit down to watch a movie that I know is going to bum me the hell out.
And I had to look up. I thought the one dude in the trailer was Hunter Parrish from Weeds. It's not.
No.
It's not. It looked like him.
Just a couple other dudes.
Can I get a hot tub?
The next movie looks a bit to me, not to sound racist, but I can, because I have one of those ethnic last names of the folks that I'm about to make fun of. Sounds like Children of the Potatoes. It's called Citadel, about some little creepy children that do some murdering.
Well, it's a dude that's agoraphobic that has to face his fears. It looks... The trailer doesn't tell you a whole bunch. It looks spooky. It looks really spooky.
And that's all we're going to say about that one is it's creepy. So check that out if you want to be weirded out and afraid to go into daycare centers, which is probably not a bad thing. Again, I'd like to thank you for not putting For Ellen directly after Keep the Lights On, because I'm not sure that I could have summoned up enough to get through both of these.
Yeah, For Ellen looks sad. Paul Dano's like, I guess his band failed.
Yeah, or they're in the process of failing.
But he chose his band over his daughter, and now he's in the process of, he's about to lose his daughter completely, and it's just him trying to form a relationship with this daughter that he's never tried before, and John Heder is his lawyer.
And I read that and was like, oh, this is going to be ridiculous. But
it looks...
I'll give him credit.
Paul Dano, man. I'll watch that dude act in anything. Like, that dude can act. And the trailer's very indie.
Yeah.
Like, the trailer's very... You know what kind of movie it's going to be from the trailer. But I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah. I think it's worth it. And I like to see people get a chance doing something different, so I like that John Heder doesn't have to be a jackass in this movie, and from what little bit he's in the trailer, he looks like he's actually going to be able to pull off a dramatic role, and you know, good for him. That's good. I'm sure he's just as tired of the Napoleon Dynamite stuff as we are of it. Not an indie movie at all, and that is Bullet to the Head. That's Sly Stallone. His kind of next standalone action movie. I guess the trailer looks a little bit more enjoyable than A Bullet to the Head.
It looks better than Last Stand.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But and it's got Sarah Shahi in it, who I love.
Are those tattoos real?
No.
Probably not.
No, she plays the daughter. She's gorgeous. But it looks ridiculous. It looks absolutely stupidly ridiculous. It's Sylvester Stallone's a hitman, his partner gets killed. He teams up with a cop, his partner's got killed. So it's a hitman and a cop hunting down these people. Sylvester Stallone plays by his own rules. The cop wants to go by the book. Woo, what's going to happen?
Yeah, hunting down Khal Drogo, also known as Conan the Barbarian, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Who? There was somebody, was it Thomas Jane, that was supposed to play Sly Stone's partner, but for some reason, he got booted from the project or left. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think I would like it more with Thomas Jane, but...
It reminded me of what the name is... The name's escaping me right now. It was Dolph Lundgren, Brandon Lee.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it looks exactly like that movie.
Oh, like Red Dragon.
Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah, that was it.
That's it. But Christian Slater's also in this. Craziest part... This is directed by Walter Hill of The Warriors.
Which, I mean, okay.
He did a lot of action movies in the 80s and 90s. He did the 48 Hours movies. He did Red Heat.
A lot like Dolph Lundgren, who did a lot of action movies in the 80s.
He did in the 80s and 90s. So, I mean, it's not that far out from him, but it looks ridiculous. Sylvester Stallone, Christian Slater.
If only Dolph Lundgren was in that as well. Probably be better. I think every movie's better with Dolph Lundgren. And I think that this next movie... Starring Nicolas Cage, Stolen, would be better. His former henchman partner, which looks a little bit like Bradley Cooper.
Josh Lucas.
Yes.
Which, that's what I want to talk about. Here's the thing about Stolen. I write down the trailers we need to watch, and then I look them up on YouTube. I looked up Stolen, and the first trailer that comes up is a movie from, like, 2009 starring Jon Hamm. Stars Jon Hamm, James Vanderbeek, and Josh Lucas.
Oh, I just...
But it stars Josh Lucas. And so I'm like, oh, that's not the right one. So then I start watching this Nicolas Cage one without reading anything about it. Who shows up? Josh Lucas. He starred in two movies called Stolen within 5 years of
each
other.
Maybe he got like Garfielded. Like he thought he
looks ridiculous,
was a remake of the one with Vanderbeek.
He looks like he's trying to play Gary Oldman's role in True Romance.
Yeah, I mean, he does look...
Or Bradley Cooper's role in Hit and Run.
That's what I was thinking. He looks like a jackass with a terrible wig. But essentially, the plot of this movie is Nicolas Cage was a bank robber, gets out of prison, and his partner, Josh Lucas, wants his share of the $10 million that apparently Nicolas Cage burned in some kind of a homeless person barrel. So Josh Lucas kidnaps his kid, puts her in the back of a taxi cab, and he's got to go rob another bank.
That's a Nick Cage movie.
Fuck it. Sure is. The last one here is Toys in the Attic, which essentially looks like the Fantastic Mr. Toy Story.
It looks fucking terrifying.
Stop motion.
What kind of animation is this? It looks frightening. This will scare my kids because it will scare the fuck out of me.
And I think this was originally a Czech movie, which is why it looks so fucked up.
It's got Forrest Whitaker's voice.
Yeah. Carrie Elu's.
Yeah, it looks frightening.
It does. There's a couple
looks like, oh, I want to watch that with my kids. That looks like, holy shit, I need to go wash myself and gouge my eyes out because I'm terrified.
There are a couple like hybrid humans with bugs or something. So, I mean, it's worth checking out the trailer.
If you want to be frightened.
It does look like that stop motion, like Fantastic Mr. Fox animation with a story
terrifying
about...
terrifying toys.
Toys that get left in the attic and what happens
to them. For good
reason,
they're fucking frightening looking.
Exactly. And we're going to get off this before Dave has some kind of an episode. He's already had an episode about one of the movies coming out. Actually, two of the movies coming out this week. Dave is well on the record as saying Hit and Run, which comes out Wednesday, will be terrible, as well as Premium Rush, which is the Joey Gordon-Levitt bicycle movie.
I didn't say it'd be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's got too many good people involved.
I'll say it. It's going to be terrible.
It might be, but it's got Michael Shannon. It's got Joey GL.
It both makes me
want to give it the benefit of the doubt. But it's Quicksilver as an action movie.
I would love to give The Apparition the benefit of the doubt. That movie looks, what did you say, creepy? What did you say before?
Is that the Ashley Greene one?
Yeah, that's the one with she got the fingers in her throat, and boy, does that look weird.
Yeah, I've seen that a million times.
Well, yeah, no, I have too, but I like that kind
of
stuff.
Of those three, is that what you would see?
Yeah, and it's not even really close. But
this would probably be the third. As much as I don't want to see Hit and Run and Premium Rush, I would see them both before The Apparition.
Either way, this is another one where I think if we lived in a cooler city, we'd both be at the limited release this week. Sleepwalk With Me, the Mike Birbiglia movie that we've talked about a while ago, based off his one-man show. That comes out in limited release, as well as Hermano, A Lonely Place for Dying, General Education, High Ground, Samsara, Somewhere Between, and Wild Horse.
Do we even want to do an over-under this week?
Do you want to do like an over-under of all three movies combined?
Or do you just want to do one number for all of them? Which one do you think makes more than $16 million?
The Apparition.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Which one do you think makes more than $16
million? I'm going to give, without going over, we're going to do it different than an over-under.
Wait, is this like Price is Right?
Kinda.
Shit.
I'm going to give you...
$1.
I'm going to give you $16 million... $12 million, $8 million. Without going over, where are you going? You're going Apparition for 16?
Yeah.
I'm putting Premium Rush at 16.
Okay, so I have to use all three?
Yeah.
This is fucking complex.
I know.
So, all right, I think...
Do you think Hit and Run or Premium Rush are going to make more than 12?
I've done 16 with Apparition, so give me Hit and Run for 12, and I'll take Premium Rush for 8.
I think you're off. I'm writing numbers down here, but no initials. This is over. You think Apparition will do over 12?
You said
12?
Without going over.
I said it wrong.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Without going under. So you think Apparition's going to be 16 plus.
Yes.
Hit and Run's going to be 12 plus.
I think Hit and Run will make more money than Premium Rush. So okay. I guess that's what
I don't even know what's going on right now. I would say Premium Rush is 16. Apparition's the third. I'd give it the 8.
Okay.
Hit and Run 12.
All right. That sounds fine.
I don't know what the rules are.
It's irrelevant because it's not like anybody's keeping score at home. Like, boy, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about and over and under. But yeah, so basically we think completely opposite. So either you're going to be dead right or I'm going to make you look foolish. But I think what we could probably say for people is maybe stay away from the theaters this
I think it's safe
this week. There's a bunch of shit to watch. Dave. What do you got?
We each have two movies this week.
Well, we have two because Dave is making me say one.
I usually have two, but I was going to do on DVD this week, Bernie. If you go back to our halftime show, a lot of people had Bernie among their top. It's a Jack Black, Richard Linklater movie. The plot kind of sounds like Weekend at Bernie's with a chick, but it's Bernie. It's really good. I just watched it recently. It's good. My other one came out on DVD last week, was one of my favorite movies of last year, one of my top 10 movies, called Snowtown. For the American DVD release, it got released as the name The Snowtown Murders. Creepy, chilling,
spooky,
terrifying movie. Daniel Henshall gives one of the best acting performances of last year. It's a shame he did not get nominated for an Oscar. This movie, it's just creepy. It's unsettling. It's hard to watch. It's based on a true story. It's very well done. Watch Snowtown.
All right, the two that I have for this week, the one that I was going to get rid of, Dave wouldn't let me get rid of it because he likes it. I think it's pretty decent. Good performances turned in by the principals in this, Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain. That is, of course, Take Shelter, Jeff Nichols' movie. I got kind of interested in seeing it because I read about Mud, and that looked cool, so I kind of wanted to familiarize myself. We were awfully people from that movie heavy.
You know what's funny about this, though, is this is a little behind the curtains magic. Ryan told me he picked Take Shelter because of the Shia LaBeouf story we didn't talk about this right. week, because Jessica Chastain was standing next to him.
She was sitting next to him.
As he said something stupid. So her reaction to a story we're not talking about was Ryan's justification for picking this movie. Not that we mentioned Michael Shannon, that Michael Shannon has a movie coming out.
No, that wasn't
that we had Jeff Nichols' movie.
No, that wasn't my justification. My justification was what I said, but how I chose to bring it up to you, because I was trying to give you a hint so you could guess what it was. I didn't want to say, well, it's by this director
guess.
For... Yeah, no, you did, but that's just because of my Jessica Chastain clue was great.
Yeah.
You fucker. The movie that I really feel like I did need to mention, and it came up organically because I essentially named the entire fucking cast like just a couple minutes ago. I'm a big fan of the Bond movies. My favorite Bond is Roger Moore. Not my favorite Roger Moore Bond movie, but worth it because we talked a bit about the characters. And that is 1985's A View to a Kill. It was kind of Dolph Lundgren's entrance into the movies, and that is because he was fucking Grace Jones at the time, and they saw this big son of a bitch on the set and said, why don't you get in the movie? You look like a heavy. Christopher Walken, before he was kind of the caricature of Christopher Walken, plays the bad guy, and it was, in fact, Roger Moore's final Bond movie, but check it out. Dave claims to like Duran Duran. This was the one that Duran Duran did the theme song to. So I'm going to try to get him to watch a Bond movie, and I'm going to try to get him to start with this one.
Yeah, it won't happen.
He won't do it, no.
But go to moviesonup.com for anything you want. From moviesonup.com, you can get to our Facebook page. Give us a like. If you like the show, give us a like. Hit us up on Twitter, @moviesonup. Gmail, moviesonup@gmail.com. If we said anything you disagree with, or if there's any movies you want us to watch, let us know. We'll read them on the air. Leave us an iTunes review. Or you could find me on Twitter, @DaveBisella, B-I-S-C-E-L-L-A. Hit me up at DaveBisella.com. Or I have a couple other podcasts, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's @EricandDave on Twitter, Eric with a K. That's weekly episodes. And Pod Black and Goldcast, it's my Steelers podcast. We're about to start doing them a lot more frequently as we get into the season.
And while you're at it, while you're doing all this, all these assignments that we're going to have, I've got a little homework assignment for you for next week. Dave and I are kicking around the possibility of doing fantasy football with movies. Now, how does that work, you ask? That's a great question, and I need another week to fully iron those details out. But take a look at the fall movies, however you choose to do that. And
what are we saying, September through December? Is that fall?
Yeah, we'll go September through the end of the year.
Okay.
So last however many months of 2012. Take a look at the movies that are going to be coming out. I'm thinking the scoring is going to involve money made at the box office, probably award nominations. So just take a look. Take a look. We don't need to do anything quite yet, but that's coming down the pike. If you're interested in maybe doing a fantasy film ball, as I've been titling it, let us know. If we get a lot of interest, maybe I'll get my shit together and we'll have all the details ironed out by next week. If not, you know, I'll keep teasing it and hopefully build up some interest for later.
Is next week our fall film preview? Our fall season preview?
I don't feel like I've committed us to doing that. Do you?
I kind of just did.
All right. Well, I guess
We said September through whatever.
Well, yeah, fuck it. Why don't we just preview the movies that are coming out for the fall so you guys don't necessarily have to do your homework. Just listen to our show next week. And I guess it's our fall preview show.
Or not.
Not a lot of fans.
Stay tuned.
It may or may not be. There's a fucking cliffhanger for you. Keep it up.